welcome to the Saving Castles podcast, the sanctuary for castle devotees and medieval history enthusiasts. Prepare to embark on a thrilling voyage through time as we unveil enthralling history and legend. From ancient folklore to cutting-edge restoration, we've got it all covered. So grab your headphones and let's dive right in.
In the tapestry of the Mediterranean's turbulent history, few threads are as vivid and as feared as the saga of Hereddin Barbarossa. Born in the waning years of the 15th century on the island of Lesbos, Barbarossa, originally named Kizer or Kaider, would grow to become a name whispered in both awe and terror across the seas. This is the story of a simple man who rose to become a pirate, a commander, and a legend. The Mediterranean in the early 16th century was a cauldron of conflict and ambition. Here, empires clashed, pirates roamed, and fortunes were made and lost with the tide. It was in this tumultuous world that Barbarossa and his brothers, under the tutelage of their father, a former janissary and a potter by trade, began their maritime adventures. The sea was in their blood, and their destiny was intertwined with its unpredictable waters. Barbarossa's early life was marked by the typical trials of a seafarer, but it was his audacity and cunning that set him apart. Alongside his brothers, he commanded a small fleet of ships, embarking on a life of piracy. Their reputation grew with each audacious raid. Their names whispered in fear along the coasts of the Mediterranean. They were not mere bandits of the sea. They were chess players on a grand maritime board, each move calculated for maximum impact. The transformation of Barbarossa from pirate to naval commander is a tale of ambition meeting opportunity. His exploits caught the attention of the Ottoman Empire, an emerging power keen to extend its influence over the Mediterranean. Recognizing his naval prowess and leadership, the Ottomans offered Barbarossa a role that would change the course of his life and the history of the Mediterranean. From humble beginnings, Barbarossa rose through the ranks of piracy to command fleets, capture cities, and shake the foundations of Mediterranean power. His life was a testament to the fact that in the turbulent waters of history, it is not just the empires that shape the story. Sometimes it is a single man with the vision to see beyond the horizon and the daring to sail towards it. Few events ripple with the dramatic intensity of Barbarossa's siege of Algiers in 1516. This chapter of Barbarossa's saga is not just a tale of conquest, but a story of strategic brilliance, political foresight, and a turning point in the history of the Mediterranean. The city of Algiers, perched like a crown on the North African coast, was a gem of immense strategic and symbolic value. Its position commanded key trade routes and held sway over the region's political dynamics. In the early 16th century, Algiers was under the control of the Spanish, a thorn in the side of the burgeoning Ottoman Empire and a barrier to their aspirations in the Western Mediterranean. Enter Barbarossa, a man whose reputation as a fearsome pirate had already sent ripples across the sea. His audacious plan to capture Algiers was not born merely out of a desire for plunder. It was a calculated move in the grand chess game of empire building. The Ottoman sultans, recognizing his naval prowess, had provided him with ships and men. But it was Barbarossa's leadership and strategic acumen that turned this force into a formidable weapon. The Siege of Algiers was a masterclass in maritime warfare and siege tactics. Barbarossa, with his intimate knowledge of the sea, used the Mediterranean not just as a stage, but as a weapon. He understood the rhythms of the sea, the patterns of the wind, and the art of surprise. As his fleet approached Algiers, the city braced itself for an assault it knew was coming, but could hardly predict. The first phase of the siege was marked by a naval blockade. Barbarossa's ships, swift and agile, cut off Algiers from the sea, choking its supply lines and sowing panic within its walls. But this was not a mere blockade. It was psychological warfare. The sight of Barbarossa's fleet, a shadow on the horizon, was enough to strike fear into the hearts of the defenders. Then came the storm of steel and fire. Barbarossa's fleet unleashed a furious bombardment on the city. Cannonballs screamed across the sky, shattering the calm of the Mediterranean and pounding the city's fortifications. The air was thick with smoke and the scent of gunpowder. The sea turned turbulent with the violence unleashed upon it. But Barbarossa knew that brute force alone would not win him the city. He needed to breach the walls to break the spirit of the defenders. In a daring move, he landed a detachment of his elite janissaries on the shores, a strike force trained for just such a mission. Under the cover of darkness and the chaos of the bombardment, they infiltrated the city, sowing further chaos and striking at key defensive positions. The defenders of Algiers, brave and determined, fought with the ferocity of those protecting their home. But they were up against a force that was not just formidable in arms, but in strategy and resolve. The siege, which had seemed like a relentless grind, turned swiftly. Barbarossa's janissaries, supported by the bombardment from the sea, breached the city's defences. As the sun rose over a new day, it revealed a city that had changed hands. Algiers, the jewel of the North African coast, was now under the control of Barbarossa. The Spanish flag that had flown over its walls was replaced by the standard of the Ottoman Empire. The capture of Algiers was more than just a military victory. It was a statement of intent from the Ottoman Empire, a declaration that they were now a dominant force in the Mediterranean. For Barbarossa, it was the culmination of a journey from pirate to commander, from a scourge of the seas to a master of naval warfare. The siege of Algiers was a turning point in Mediterranean history. It shifted the balance of power, challenged the dominance of the European powers, and marked the rise of the Ottoman navy as a force to be reckoned with. In this chapter of Barbarossa's life, we see not just the tale of a siege, but the story of a man who bent the arc of history with his will, his ships, and his cannons. In the Grand Theatre, the 16th century Mediterranean, a new act was unfolding, one that would forever alter its geopolitical landscape. This act centered around a figure who had risen from the ranks of piracy to become a pivotal player on this stage, Hayreddin Barbarossa. The seizure of Algiers was a mere prologue to what was to become his most defining role as the chief naval commander of the Ottoman Empire. The year was 1534, and the Mediterranean was a chessboard of power, ambition, and conflict. The Ottoman Empire, under the rule of Sultan Suleiman the Magnificent, was reaching the zenith of its power and influence. Suleiman, a ruler of great ambition and vision, recognized the strategic importance of naval supremacy in the Mediterranean. For this, he needed a naval commander of extraordinary capability, a master of the sea who could navigate the complex and treacherous waters of maritime warfare. In Barbarossa, he found his admiral. The appointment of Barbarossa as the Capudan Pasha, the Grand Admiral of the Ottoman fleet, was a testament to his naval prowess and his accomplishments in Algiers. This was no mere honorary title. It was a position of immense power and responsibility. Barbarossa was now the commander of the largest naval force in the Mediterranean, a fleet that was the envy of the world. But this appointment was not just a military one. It was a political statement by Suleiman, a signal to the powers of Europe that the Ottoman Empire was not just a land power to be reckoned with, but a dominant force on the seas. The appointment of a former pirate as the Grand Admiral was a bold and unconventional move, a display of Suleiman's confidence in Barbarossa's abilities and his disregard for the conventions of European aristocracy and naval tradition. Barbarossa's rise to this position of power was fraught with challenges and intrigues. The Mediterranean was a volatile and competitive arena, with the Habsburgs of Spain and the Holy Roman Empire vying for dominance. The Christian powers viewed the rise of an Ottoman admiral with a mix of fear, envy, and hostility. Barbarossa's reputation as a fearsome pirate only added to their alarm. As the Grand Admiral, Barbarossa embarked on a campaign to solidify Ottoman dominance in the Mediterranean. He fortified the Ottoman naval bases, revamped the fleet, and embarked on a series of bold campaigns that would demonstrate the might of the Ottoman navy. He was not just a commander. He was a strategist and a visionary who understood the intricate dance of naval warfare and empire building. One of his most significant campaigns was the conquest of Tunis in 1534. This campaign was not just a military conquest, but a strategic move to counter the Habsburg influence in the Western Mediterranean. Tunis, a strategic port city, was a pawn in the larger game of Mediterranean politics. Barbarossa's capture of the city was a stroke of strategic genius, extending Ottoman influence and challenging the established powers. The appointment of Barbarossa as the Grand Admiral marked a new era in Mediterranean history. It was an era where the Ottoman Empire emerged as a dominant naval power, challenging the supremacy of the European states. Barbarossa's leadership of the Ottoman fleet was a period of intense naval engagements, strategic maneuvering, and the redefining of the power dynamics in the Mediterranean. His journey from the coast of Lesbos to the helm of the Ottoman navy is a tale of ambition, skill, and a relentless drive to conquer the seas. In Barbarossa, the Mediterranean found not just a master of naval warfare, but a figure who would leave an indelible mark on its history. Amidst the turbulent waves of the 16th century Mediterranean, another battle loomed that would echo through the annals of history. The Battle of Previsa, fought on the 28th of September 1538, stands as a testament to the naval genius of Hayreddin Barbarossa, the formidable Kapudan Pasha of the Ottoman fleet. This was not merely a clash of ships. It was a clash of empires, ideologies, and the indomitable will of one man against the might of a coalition. The stage for this epic confrontation was set against the backdrop of the Holy League, a formidable alliance of Christian powers, including the Papal States, Spain, the Holy Roman Empire, the Republic of Venice, and others. They were united in their resolve to curb the rising Ottoman influence in the Mediterranean. Commanded by Andrea Doria, a legendary Genoese admiral in the service of Emperor Charles V, the Holy League's fleet was a formidable force, one that sought to challenge and dethrone Barbarossa from his dominion over the sea. Barbarossa, aware of the gathering storm, prepared his fleet in the waters near Previsa, a strategic location on the western coast of Greece. His fleet was outnumbered, the Holy League ships outnumbering his own. But what Barbarossa lacked in numbers, he made up for with superior strategy, unparalleled experience, and an unwavering resolve. As the two fleets converged, the Mediterranean became a chessboard with ships as pawns. The battle began with a cautious dance as both sides maneuvered for advantage. Barbarossa, with his intimate knowledge of the waters and his masterful command of naval tactics, held back, forcing Doria to make the first move. The Holy League, confident in their numerical superiority, advanced, expecting to overwhelm Barbarossa's fleet. But they were playing into the hands of a master tactician. Barbarossa had chosen the battleground carefully. The Gulf of Arta's narrow confines limited the maneuverability of the larger Holy League galleys, neutralizing their numerical advantage. The battle erupted into a maelstrom of cannon fire, the air thick with smoke and the roar of artillery. Barbarossa's ships, more agile and responsive, danced around the lumbering galleys of the Holy League, unleashing devastating broadsides. The sea turned into a cauldron of chaos, with ships entangled in deadly combat, the clash of steel and the cries of men merging into a symphony of war. In a bold maneuver, Barbarossa led his flagship directly into the heart of the battle, cutting through the enemy lines. His ship, a beacon of defiance and strength, rallied his fleet. The Ottoman sailors, inspired by their leader's bravery, fought with renewed vigor. As the day wore on, the tide of battle shifted. The Holy League, confounded by Barbarossa's tactics and struggling in the restrictive waters, began to falter. Doria, realizing the futility of the engagement, signaled a retreat. The Ottoman fleet, seizing the moment, pressed their advantage, harrying the retreating ships. The Battle of Preveza ended with a decisive Ottoman victory. Barbarossa, with his strategic acumen and fearless leadership, had not only repelled the Holy League's challenge, but had also affirmed Ottoman naval supremacy in the Mediterranean. This battle was more than just a military triumph. It was a moment of profound significance. It marked the zenith of Barbarossa's career, a pinnacle of his journey from pirate to admiral. For the European powers, it was a sobering reminder of the rising Ottoman might, a force that could not be easily subdued or dismissed. The Battle of Preveza, in its essence, was a reflection of the turbulent times in which it was fought. It was a chapter in the great narrative of the Mediterranean, a sea that had witnessed the rise and fall of empires, the clash of civilizations, and the stories of legendary figures like Barbarossa. In the aftermath of this great battle, Barbarossa's name was etched into the annals of maritime history. He was not just a captain of a ship or fleet. He was a captain of his destiny, steering the course of history with the helm of his indomitable will. As the sun set over the battle-scarred waters of Preveza, it marked the end of an epochal day. But for Barbarossa, it was another step in his relentless march into legend. In the heart of the Mediterranean, a city now stood as a testament to the prowess and vision of Hayreddin Barbarossa, Algiers. With the sea at its feet and the sky as its crown, Algiers was not just a city. It was a symbol of Barbarossa's mastery over the Mediterranean. His rule over Algiers was a pivotal chapter in his saga, one that transformed the city into a bastion of power, culture, and maritime supremacy. After capturing Algiers in 1516, Barbarossa did not merely occupy the city. He breathed new life into it. His vision was to create not just a stronghold, but a center of power that would reflect the glory and might of the Ottoman Empire. Algiers, under his rule, became a nexus of maritime trade, a haven for corsairs and a bulwark against European encroachment. The transformation of Algiers under Barbarossa was profound. He fortified the city, reinforcing its walls and expanding its harbors. These were not just defensive measures. They were a declaration of strength and independence. The fortifications of Algiers stood as a challenge to any who dared to contest Ottoman supremacy in the Mediterranean. Barbarossa's rule was marked by a strategic vision that extended beyond military might. He understood the importance of a strong economic foundation. Algiers, under his guidance, flourished as a trading hub. Its markets buzzed with the exchange of goods from across the Mediterranean and beyond. Silk from the east, spices from the Indies, and metals from Europe all found their way to Algiers, turning it into a mosaic of cultures and commerce. But it was not just trade that flourished in Algiers. Barbarossa encouraged learning and the arts. Scholars, poets, and artisans were drawn to the city, attracted by the patronage of the Ottoman admiral and the vibrant culture that thrived under his rule. Algiers became a beacon of Islamic learning and culture, its libraries and mosques a testament to the intellectual and spiritual vitality of the city. Barbarossa's governance was also marked by a pragmatic approach to diplomacy and politics. He forged alliances with European powers when it suited his interests, even engaging in negotiations and treaties with former adversaries. His rule was not just about conquest and dominance. It was about creating a balance of power that favored the Ottoman Empire. Yet, for all the prosperity and strength that Algiers enjoyed, Barbarossa's rule was not without challenges. He faced constant threats from European powers, particularly the Spanish and the Knights of Malta, who viewed Algiers as a pirate haven and a threat to their own interests in the Mediterranean. Barbarossa had to constantly maneuver through a complex web of political and military challenges, employing both force and diplomacy to maintain his hold on Algiers. Barbarossa's Algiers was a microcosm of the Mediterranean world, diverse, dynamic, and constantly evolving. It was a city that stood at the crossroads of cultures, where East met West and where the legacy of ancient civilizations mingled with the aspirations of a new empire. In Barbarossa's Algiers, the call to prayer from the minarets blended with the songs of sailors, the clatter of the market, and the roar of cannons from the harbour. It was a city alive with the pulse of the sea, the rhythm of trade, and the energy of a people who looked to their ruler as a beacon of strength and assurance. As we leave the shores of Algiers, we carry with us the image of a city transformed under Barbarossa's rule. In the story of Barbarossa, Algiers stands as a chapter where the pirate turned ruler, the sea wolf turned statesman, left an indelible mark on the Mediterranean, reshaping not just the city, but the very course of history in this ever-turbulent sea. The name I read in Barbarossa, whispered with a mixture of awe and dread, conjured images of sea battles and daring raids across the Mediterranean. His exploits were the stuff of legends, tales that resonated from the bustling ports of Constantinople to the remote villages of the Italian coastline. Among these tales, the capture of the island of Capri and the audacious raid along the coast of Naples in 1535 stand as vivid testaments to Barbarossa's maritime prowess and his ability to strike fear into the hearts of his adversaries. The island of Capri, a jewel in the Tyrrhenian Sea, was famed for its rugged beauty and its strategic importance. In the summer of 1535, Barbarossa set his sights on this island, not merely for its beauty, but for its significance as a symbol of Christian power in the Mediterranean. The raid on Capri was a masterstroke of naval strategy and surprise. As his fleet approached the island under the cover of night, the residents of Capri were oblivious to the impending storm. Barbarossa's men landed silently, blending with the shadows as they advanced towards the fortress. The defenders, caught off guard and overwhelmed by the sudden onslaught, could do little to resist. By dawn, the flag of the Ottoman Empire fluttered atop the fortress of Capri, a stark message to the Christian powers of the reach and audacity of the Ottoman admiral. But Barbarossa's ambitions were not to be satiated with the capture of Capri alone. His gaze turned to the coast of Naples, a territory under the dominion of the Holy Roman Empire and a symbol of the Habsburg presence in the Mediterranean. The raid along the Neapolitan coast was not just an act of piracy. It was a calculated move in the grand game of power and intimidation. With a fleet that had become the scourge of the Mediterranean, Barbarossa descended upon the Neapolitan coast with a fury that was both terrifying and awe-inspiring. The coastal towns, rich and complacent, were unprepared for the ferocity of the attack. Barbarossa's men, battle-hardened and relentless, swept through the towns like a tempest, plundering, burning, and instilling a deep sense of fear and vulnerability. The raid was a display of naval dominance and a demonstration of the reach of Barbarossa's power. The coast of Naples, which had once felt secure under the protection of the Holy Roman Empire, was now exposed and ravaged. The impact of the raid was psychological as much as it was physical. It shattered the illusion of safety and exposed the vulnerabilities of the Habsburg territories in the Mediterranean. Barbarossa's raids were more than mere military engagements. They were statements of power and challenges to the established order. His name became synonymous with unpredictability and terror on the sea. The coastal towns of the Mediterranean, once bustling with commerce and life, now cast wary eyes on the horizon, fearing the sight of Barbarossa's sails. Yet, amidst the fear and destruction, there was a grudging admiration for the Ottoman admiral. His naval genius, his ability to strike quickly and decisively, was recognized even by his foes. Barbarossa had become a figure larger than life, a sea king whose very name could change the course of battles and alter the plans of empires. His exploits were not just about plunder or conquest. They were about demonstrating the might of the Ottoman navy, challenging the supremacy of the European powers, and etching his name into the eternal saga of the Mediterranean. As we sail away from the burning coasts and the plundered towns, we are left with the image of Barbarossa, not just as a commander or a ruler, but as a force of nature that reshaped the Mediterranean world. His raids were a testament to his strategic brilliance, his daring, and his indomitable will. As the sun of the 16th century began to wane, so too did the era of Hereditin Barbarossa. The formidable admiral who had dominated the Mediterranean with his cunning and bravery, the twilight of his life was not marked by defeat in battle or by the loss of his indomitable spirit, but by the inexorable passage of time and the changing tides of the Mediterranean world. The later years of Barbarossa's life saw him retreat from the forefront of naval warfare, not as a vanquished foe, but as a master who had played his part on the grand stage of history. In 1545, he chose to anchor his life in Constantinople, the heart of the Ottoman Empire. The city, a nexus of East and West, was a fitting backdrop for the final act of Barbarossa's storied career. In Constantinople, Barbarossa was not a forgotten hero of a bygone era. He was revered as a living legend, a veteran of the sea whose exploits had become the stuff of tales and songs. He was a counselor to the Sultan, imparting his wisdom and experience, a guide to the next generation of Ottoman naval commanders who sought to follow in his wake. However, the world Barbarossa left behind was changing. The Mediterranean, once a battleground of galleys and cannons, was witnessing the dawn of a new age of naval technology and warfare. The balance of power was shifting with new players emerging on the scene. The legacy of Barbarossa, while indelible, was being woven into the larger tapestry of history, a tapestry that was ever evolving. Barbarossa's legacy is multifaceted and enduring. In the annals of naval history, he is remembered as one of the greatest admirals of the Mediterranean. His tactics, his leadership, and his ability to turn the tide of battle left a lasting imprint on the art of naval warfare. He was not just a master of the sea. He was a master of strategy and innovation, adapting to the changing dynamics of naval engagements with a keen intellect and a fearless heart. In the cultural memory of the Mediterranean, Barbarossa occupies a place of both reverence and notoriety. In the Muslim world, he is hailed as a hero, a defender of the faith, and a champion of the Ottoman Empire's might. His victories against the Christian powers are celebrated as triumphs of Islamic prowess and Ottoman strength. Conversely, in the Christian West, Barbarossa was often vilified as a pirate and a scourge of the sea. His raids along the coastlines of Europe and his battles against the Christian fleets were etched into the collective memory as tales of terror and destruction. Yet even among his adversaries, there was an acknowledgement of his brilliance as a naval commander. Barbarossa's story is also a reflection of the complex and intertwined history of the Mediterranean. He was a man who transcended his origins as a pirate to become a key player in the great game of empires. His life was a microcosm of the struggles and aspirations of the Mediterranean world, a world where cultures collided, empires vied for supremacy, and the sea was both a battleground and a bridge connecting diverse peoples and lands. As we draw the curtain on the life of Barbarossa, we are left with the image of a man who was as much a product of his time as he was a shaper of it. His legacy is not just in the battles he won or the cities he captured. It lies in the enduring fascination with his character, the tales of his exploits that continue to captivate the imagination, and his contribution to the rich tapestry of Mediterranean history. Barbarossa's story is a reminder that history is not just a chronicle of events. It is a narrative of human endeavors, of ambitions and fears, of victories and defeats. In the saga of Barbarossa, we find a chapter of history that is as compelling as it is instructive, a chapter that continues to resonate across the centuries. As the sun sets on our narrative of Hereditin Barbarossa, we find ourselves reflecting upon the end of an era, a period in history that was as tumultuous as it was transformative. The Mediterranean, that vast and tempestuous sea, had been the stage upon which Barbarossa's legend was forged, a legend that is both a tapestry of historical fact and a canvas of mythical proportion. The life of Barbarossa, from his humble beginnings to his ascent as the feared admiral of the Ottoman fleet, is a story that intertwines with the broader narrative of the Mediterranean during the Renaissance. It was a time when empires clashed and ideologies battled for supremacy, a time when the Mediterranean was not just a body of water, but a vortex of human ambition and conflict. Barbarossa's legacy is indelibly etched into the fabric of this history. His exploits reshaped the political and naval landscape of his era. The Mediterranean, once dominated by European powers, had witnessed the rise of a new formidable force under his command. His victories, particularly the Battle of Previsa, had effectively challenged the naval supremacy of the Holy League and had affirmed the Ottoman Empire as a dominant maritime power. Yet, Barbarossa's story is not just one of conquest and military prowess. It is also a tale of transformation and adaptation. He evolved from a pirate, a rebel on the seas, into a statesman and a commander. His rule in Algiers and his stewardship of the Ottoman navy were testaments to his abilities not just as a warrior but as a leader who understood the complexities of governance and the intricacies of international diplomacy. As we look back on the life of Barbarossa, we are also reminded of the nature of piracy, naval warfare, and power dynamics in the 16th century. His journey from piracy to legitimacy reflects the fluid and often ambiguous nature of maritime law and politics of the time. It challenges us to consider the fine line between villainy and heroism, between rebellion and legitimate struggle. The story of Barbarossa also speaks to the enduring fascination with figures who defy convention, who chart their own course through the annals of history. For castle enthusiasts and history lovers, his life is a captivating chapter in the larger saga of the Mediterranean, a saga filled with intrigue, adventure, and the relentless pursuit of power. In Barbarossa, we find a character who is as complex as the era he lived in. He was a man of contradictions, feared yet respected, a pirate turned admiral, a rebel who became a pillar of the very empire he once defied. His legacy is a mosaic of different perspectives, each tile reflecting a different facet of his multifaceted persona. As we conclude this episode, we are left with an image of the Mediterranean in the twilight of the Renaissance, a sea that had borne witness to the rise and fall of empires, the clash of civilizations, and the saga of men like Barbarossa. His story, like the Mediterranean itself, is a reminder of the perpetual dance of history. In the ripples of time, the name Barbarossa resonates as a symbol of a bygone era, an era that continues to captivate and inspire. His legacy, like the waters of the Mediterranean, ebbs and flows in the collective memory, a legend that remains as enduring and as enigmatic as the sea itself. Thank you for joining us on this enchanting journey through medieval history. While our weekly episodes will continue to captivate your imagination, there's an exclusive treasure trove for subscribers, a secret vault of bonus episodes filled with extra tales and deep dives into the subjects we cover. Your curiosity fuels our mission, and we're truly thankful for your support. Until we meet again among stone walls and towering turrets, keep that torch of curiosity burning bright. Thank you for listening.